it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what Dave has to do to get Belsky on the line. Love me, love me. That's how it is. Belsky, of course, shows up at the fair on a day when we have 74 guests, then says, one or two days, I'll be there. No shows. Then today, CNBC says, we'd like to have you on. He goes running over there. Then today, Dave, what happened when we were trying to track Belsky down?
Voicemail.
Yeah. We see where we rank Belsky. We have feelings here, and they are hurt right now.
You know, the technical term is called love bombing. I was love bombing you, like pulling you in, and then, nope, I'm out.
See playing ya. Hard to get, and then, actually, I wasn't playing hard. You're not getting me. Not getting me. Here he is, the chief investment strategist from BMO Capital Markets. Okay, let's get to it. Friday, when I was off, this country added 22,000 jobs in August. Expectation was 76,000. The job numbers have been lousy for 4 months. Are we in trouble economically?
I don't think so. I mean, but at the same time, jobs have been decelerating here pretty decently. Remember, too, that I would not be surprised, Chad, if next month that is probably going to be revised higher. Typically and historically, the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, have had a hard time kind of measuring these. And the other thing, too, seasonality-wise, with respect to August, is typically a lot slower as well. So your listeners would have to kind of think about that. The other thing, too, is you take two steps back, okay? And you say, okay, the Fed, meaning Mr. Powell, has a dual mandate, meaning two things. Number one is inflation, and number two is employment. And for all intents and purposes, especially considering everything that we've been through in this economy, from COVID to the tariffs to all this, the U.S. economy has been amazing, something you and I had the good fortune of talking about for a while. However, with employment maybe slipping here a little bit, it only accentuates.
Maybe. Come on now. 22,000 jobs is more than maybe, right?
But, okay, so again, let's take two steps back and be objective. So I'm just a simple kid from Wilmer, Minnesota. So if you do the math, right, and so we're mid fours, high fours unemployment. So that means 5% unemployment. Let's just keep, again, the math simple. If you subtract that from 100, that means 95% of Americans still have gigs. And I think from a historical perspective, we need to be aware of that. But it does also pretty much solidify that the Fed is going to start cutting rates to ease money supply and get more money out there so we can make money easier to get from a lending perspective. And that clearly is going to help from the housing side of things as well.
When does the Fed meet again?
This week.
Okay. So will it be a half point?
It won't be a half point. It'll be 25 basis points, and that's already been. So if the Fed cuts 50 basis points, which would be a half a percentage, Chad, that tells the market that they know something that we don't know, and the stock market does not like to think they don't know what's going on. So that would cause more consternation, I would think. And so I think it also sets up one or two more additional cuts before the end of the year, heading into 2026, which could ultimately be, quote unquote, a time where we have easy money and steady but lower growth, kind of Goldilocks type of situation, kind of like we did in 1995.
Okay. The president, in trying to provide a rosier picture of these numbers, made the comment last week for a guy who's into instant gratification, right? I'm going to solve that war in a day. I'll turn this economy around and in a week, whatever it might be, said we might not see the true best economic numbers for two more years. Now, if Joe Biden would have said that or Barack Obama would have said that, Donald Trump would have went crazy. But if you're dramatically changing our economy with tariffs, if they hold up in the Supreme Court, and I'm going to get to that in a second, is he actually right that it takes a couple of years to judge how this is going to work or not work with an enormous economic system?
Any kind of thing with respect to macro or economic takes time to unwind. I'm not supporting or denying what President Trump said. It just takes time to get into the system. It's more so, that's why we always say, you know, stocks lead earnings, which will lead the economy. By the time it shows up in the economy, it's already in the stock market for a while since then. So I do think that it's going to take a couple of years in this new world of the U.S. taking in money with respect to revenue and the tariffs, but also think, too, that most companies in the United States are sitting at record high margins. Companies are making as much money as they ever have. And so some of those margins are going to be able to, let's say, take on some of the higher costs, either from the production level or the consumer level.
He is Wilmer Zone. He is Brian Belsky, our chief economic guru on this show. Okay, we are headed for some decision on tariffs from the Supreme Court. Now, they're going to start here in a few weeks, and sometimes we expect the Supreme Court to offer up an immediate decision, Brian. And other times they say, we're just going to take our time, and you might get it from us in January, February, maybe even in June, when all the big decisions come out. Tariffs have obviously had an effect, including within our government, when the government has brought in tens of billions of dollars. Let's say the Supreme Court says, you know what? The president was wrong. These are not the emergency extenuating circumstances. And if he wants to get tariffs passed, he has to get them passed through Congress. And that doesn't happen. What will happen to our economy if that takes place?
Well, again, you nailed it in your preamble in terms of timing. Excuse me, whether or not it happens in January or June. Remember, June, you're going to be well into the midterm elections. And regarding with respect to where we are in the economy by June, if things begin to falter a little bit, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Republicans do in terms of positioning for the midterm election. I'm not going to get into the redistricting and stuff like that. That's just noise. But I do believe that the Supreme Court can play a hand in the midterm elections regarding how long they kind of delay this decision. And let's just say, too, that many people are kind of missing the forest through the trees on this. So say if ultimately it is denied, you're going to have some volatility in the market. I'm not talking about a bear market or a recession or anything like that. That's for the doomsayers are saying. But think about this, Chad. If the Republicans come out super strong in the midterm elections, then Trump's going to say, President Trump's going to say, okay, let's bring it to Congress. Because Congress will, in a Republican-controlled Congress, they have the better opportunity to get this thing done on the congressional side. So to that degree, you have to be almost careful what you ask for with respect to the Democrats being too aggressive on this whole notion of tariffs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So a typical small business in Wilmer, do you think they're better off now than they were a year ago under Joe Biden?
I think they are, just because of where the economy is and, more importantly, where interest rates are going, because interest rates are going to go lower. And the key thing is inflation has gone down and people are kind of missing this. The other thing, too, is that from a—
But are we missing that because we're paying more tax/tariff? So yeah, it's gone down, but I'm paying more because of the tariff situation.
Well, the other thing too is that you think about the tariff situation and the money that we're taking in from all these other countries that we have been paying these massive tariffs for a long time. So, and that includes Europe and what's happened in Asia. We're still waiting for the Canadians to play nice and we'll see what
happens. The government sees that. The small business owner in Wilmer doesn't see that.
They may ultimately see that, especially if they're, like, if you think about the small business owner in Wilmer, if you think about a lot of these Canadian companies have come into Minnesota in particular and swooped up a lot of the dairy farms and a lot of the agricultural stuff. And so they could see actually tariffs, and tariffs from Canada on the agricultural side have been very aggressive, Chad, and nobody really talks about that. But that's really the truth of the matter as well. So I would say that in this world where a 5% interest rate is the average in terms of the 10-year Treasury, and we've said this now for the last couple of years, we think that the 10-year Treasury over the next 5 years is going to be somewhere between 350 and 450, meaning 4.5%. And if we're now below 4.5% and the Fed's going to cut, we're going to be clearly into the threes, which would spur economic activity in an area, especially within Willmar, by the way, where housing prices have held in there quite strongly. Affordability is not great, and you haven't had a lot of new supply on the market. So I do think that as natural resources become a little bit more prevalent, and you can go out and buy wood and do all those kind of things and cement that takes to buy build houses, I think that's just going to improve the supply and drop the price of homes.
Last thing on that, though, I read a Wall Street Journal story today suggesting lumber has jumped up a bit, and that lumber sometimes can be a precursor of good and bad. Do you buy the lumber idea that kind of it might be an early indicator of either the better part when it's dropping or the concerning part when the price jumps?
That's a great point to bring up. So if you talk about companies like Pulte and D.R. Horton and even Home Depot and Lowe's and that, you know that they bought lumber 3 years ago when lumber was a lot lower. So they've been stockpiling this. And housing companies in particular have had a hard time finding people to build the houses. And so they have all this backloaded lumber and cement that was bought at way lower prices. So their margins actually are going to be really, really good. To bring back this full circle and what you said about President Trump looking 2 years from now, 2 years from now, we're going to say, oh, by the way, the price of lumber that now is being put to work that we bought 2 years ago at that higher level. You follow me? And by then, we're going to have strong supply and strong demand for housing, and people are going to once again want to build their houses and increase that level of housing supply.
Next time, hopefully we'll go to voicemail maybe four times.
You think I was like Twins management? Voicemail.
Yeah,
voicemail.
He was. He felt, I mean, Dave, you felt it, right? You were the one calling. I was just observing.
Yeah. Well, you saw the sweat coming off my brow.
Spam. It said spam alert.
Yeah.
If it was going to be like a 612 or 651, I would have picked it up here in New York City, but it said spam alert.
Dave just completed a triathlon. He's wearing the shirt and the medal, and he said calling you was more taxing than all the training and the event itself.
It's true. It's hurt more.
Yeah.
Dave, make Chad buy you a Theragun. You deserve it.
Well, Theraguns
are more than that.
Yeah. He's forced to work with me every day. He needs a lot more than that. All right, man. See you soon.
Thank you, brother.
Belsky with us. It's 29 past 2. Hey, again, it's the lead-in to Stretch Lap. Yeah, you could be the person this week. I doubt you pulled off what Dave did, and I mean this in all sincerity. It's amazing what he did, run a triathlon. And then the fact he's doing this while raising funds for Crohn's and colitis. I have retweeted what Dave has offered up. So if you can donate some money to Crohn's and colitis, I doubt you have to go very far in your friendship circle, let alone your family, to see someone who's facing it like Dave's wife, Lindsay, does. So that would be very nice. Dave, I've watched him stretch repeatedly during the show. If you sat around on your couch this weekend, you should stretch. Even if you're if you're into Pilates and yoga, you're in a better spot. But guess what? When you go to Stretch Lab, you find out a location and hours and somebody to sign up with at stretchlab.com, you're still going to feel even better when a trained professional helps you out. That's if you're at the best. If you're like the rest of us, where you're kind of trying, kind of not trying, why not go there for that opening 50-minute session? They will assess you, and I guarantee you can walk out of that place feeling a little taller, feeling a little better, and wondering how you can sign up for a monthly visit. StretchLab.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.